Let us pray. Most merciful and ever living Father, you have given us your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. Enlighten us, enlighten our lives as we listen to you this morning, that we may be better equipped to face the challenges of life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. A reflection this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. I've titled that reflection, The Marks of a Healthy Church. In his book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, published in Washington, D.C. in 2002, Mark Deve commented that God intends to display the glory of his beauty, perfection and love through the church. And he goes further to say, imagine what this would look like in our local congregations if God's name is exalted in song and sermon. Relationships are tied together by love and service. Marriages and families are built for endurance, and Christ's sacrifice is pictured in the lives of sinful but repenting people. What Mark is talking about is actually what might be referred to as the renewal of the church, or the marks of a healthy church. And the renewal of the church is a topic that has been engaging the minds of many Christian people in recent years. There are many Protestant churches that are seeking a renewal of their lives and some that are experiencing it. For example, Pentecostal charismatic churches in Africa or from Africa and other parts of the global south are presenting themselves as renewalist movements in the 21st century. And they claim that the fire of the Holy Spirit is now burning and moving in these churches, are no longer in historic mission churches. The Roman Catholic Church announced at its Second Vatican Council its renewal. And even the Eastern Orthodox churches, steeped in their traditions, are in some cases beginning to open themselves to the possibility of change and reform according to the Word and Spirit of God. I remember when I was doing my research for my master's degree, in my chapter about research methodology, when I was reading literature, I found somewhere my supervisor had written, when he was doing research among Pentecostals, he said he had been able to move among those moved by the Spirit. It seems he was suggesting that those moved by the Spirit only belong to Pentecostal charismatic churches. But that is not true, because we know that we too are moving by the Spirit. But what is renewal, especially in the local church? And what are the marks of a renewed church, which, having been renewed, is a healthy church? That is the question that is going to preoccupy us this morning. And our inspiration will come from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Before we look at the text briefly, I think I need to remind you that this letter is one of the very first written by the Apostle Paul during his second missionary journey, probably the third letter he wrote. His mission in Thessalonica with Silas and Timothy had only lasted a few weeks, possibly a few months. And because of a riot or uproar in the city of Thessalonica, he had to be smuggled away from the city by night. Now he is in Corinth, further south. Already he has written one letter to the Thessalonians, and now, a few weeks later, having received further news about how they are getting on, he writes them another. And in both these letters to the Thessalonians, he gives us a glimpse of a young church in the middle of the first century AD, in the first flash of his spiritual youth and enthusiasm and vitality. So what did the church look like? There are two things I want to ask you to notice from this great word of God this morning. And the first is Paul's description of a healthy church. For after his greeting to them in the first few verses, he expresses thanks for the same three qualities which he mentioned at the beginning of the first letter. That is faith, love, and hope. Those three powerful foundational words of our Christian faith. And this, you know, is the Christian's basic orientation. Because the basic orientation of the Christian church is towards God in faith, towards others in love, and towards the future in hope. And every Christian is a believer and a lover and a hoper. Now, in the first letter, Paul emphasized how productive these three qualities are, because he spoke of your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope. But now, in this passage, he speaks not to the productivity of these three graces, but to the fact that all three are growing. And that's what I concentrate on this morning. Let's take them one by one. And the first is that your faith is growing abundantly. And no doubt, along with their faith, the work of faith was growing comparably, abundantly. And it seems to me that Paul was impressed by the truly luxuriant growth of the Thessalonians' faith. So he said, your faith is growing abundantly. So the question this morning is, friends, could we say that of ourselves or one another? Your faith is growing abundantly. But the very concept of growing faith is alien to many people because they think of faith in static terms. Oh, I wish I had your faith, somebody says. As they might say, I wish I had your complexion or your color of hair. As if faith were part of our permanent genetic inheritance and you have either got it or you haven't got it. Other people say it pathetically, oh, I have lost my faith, as they might say, I've lost my spectacles. As if faith was a kind of commodity that belonged to the lost property or the lost and found department. But faith is a relationship of trust towards God, and like all relationships, it is a living thing, and it is a dynamic thing, and it ought to be a growing thing. Jesus, our Lord, clearly taught this because he indicated in many occasions that there are degrees of faith. O you of little faith, he once said to the apostles in Matthew 8:26. And so they responded in another occasion, Lord, increase our faith. We know it's little. We want more. Luke 17:5. And on two occasions, Jesus spoke to a couple of Gentiles and said, I haven't found so great faith even in Israel. Matthew 8:10 and Luke 7:9. So every healthy Christian and every healthy church has a growing faith. We are not content with the amount of faith we had when we first came to Christ in penitence and faith and were converted and born again. No, we want our faith to grow. It needs to be stronger, maturer than it was years and even months ago. And insofar as we are disciplined as a church in coming to listen to the Word of God, in reading and expounding on it and coming to the Lord's Supper, which as Augustine said is the visible Word of God in response to his Word preached and dramatized, our faith will grow. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God is heard through the Word about Christ. Romans 10:17. Now, secondly, or the second part of Paul's description of a healthy church or healthy Christians concerns their love. He says that the love of every one of you for each another is increasing, and doubtless also the labor of love, in which love expressed itself, no doubt, was growing. But you know, the problem is that our view of love, like our view of faith, is often too static. We assume, oh, I love somebody, or I love that person. Oh, I don't love somebody. And that's that. But love is a relationship like faith. It is a living thing. It is a dynamic thing. And it ought to be a growing thing. Paul exhorted them in his very first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4. He said, I know you love one another, but I want you to do so more and more. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9. He wasn't satisfied with the amount of love they had for each other. He wanted them to increase in their love. Well, his exhortation was evidently heeded because their love was increasing. And it was increasing not only in its quality and its intensity and in the concrete labors in which it was exemplified, but in its scope. So that is the second mark of a healthy church and a healthy Christian. An unhealthy church, on the other hand, let's test ourselves about that, develops cliques and factions and even tolerates them. And though externally and substantially it may be united, some members stay aloof from the fellowship, others quarrel, slander one another, and instead of forgiving one another, they remain sour and alienated. But a disunited church or an unhealthy church is a contradiction in terms. What is the church? It is the new community of Jesus. And it is the single community without any barriers, racial, social, national, permitted. It's the only united community there is, the only loving community there is. And so to talk about a disunited or unloving church contradicts the very nature of the Christian church. By contrast, in the Thessalonian church, all the church members loved one another, and in their love for one another, I have no doubt, served one another, and the love for all, for each, and each for all was increasing. And that brings me to the third part of Paul's description of the church, and that is in verse 4, where he refers to your steadfastness in faith, in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. There is no explicit reference here to hope, but there is a reference to steadfastness or patience, which are the children of hope, as he said at the beginning of his first letter. So in Thessalonica, evidently, persecutions, which are physical, and afflictions, which are more general pressures, were increasing. But their steadfastness and faith, that is their believing constancy in enduring this increasing pressure, was also increasing. Now, dear friends, suffering is the third mark of a healthy church. You may be surprised to hear, but a church that is uncompromising in its loyalty to Jesus Christ, both in what it believes and in the standards of its conduct, will always provoke opposition from the world. And I have no doubt that if we compromise less as churches, we will suffer more. Yet if suffering is the mark of a healthy church, so is steadfastness and the believing endurance with which we bear that suffering. Well, friends, that then is Paul's description of a healthy church. Central to this healthy church is faith, love, and steadfastness. Faith that is aware of the reality of God. Trust in Him, comes together on the Lord's Day to worship Him and shares the faith with others in the fellowship. Love that knows no boundaries and that is growing among church members and even within the community. And steadfastness as pilgrims, as we suffer for the Lord on earth. But not only are those three marks of a healthy church, but all three are growing. Your faith is growing abundantly. The love of every one of you for another is increasing. And so are your steadfastness and faith in the midst of persecution. So how do I conclude? There are three things which we learned this morning from the church in Thessalonica. And the first is that their faith was growing. Do you always think about your faith in Christ Jesus? Yes, you've come to Christ. And you come to church every Sunday. Is that all? Do you ask yourself about whether your faith is growing or not? Can you actually say that you have taken a step of faith in your Christian life from last year to this year? Faith is a living thing. And like all other living things, it ought to be growing. And the second is love. And often we say we love this person or we don't love this person. Have you ever tried to evaluate your love for one another? And is your love a static one or is your love a growing one? Love, like, is a living thing, and like all other living things, it ought to be growing. Love for your spouse. Love for your fellow members in the church. Love for fellow members in the community. Love at your workplace. Your love ought to be growing. And finally, steadfastness. Are you hopeful enough that even in the midst of challenges, you can say to yourself that even though I am in this, I am sure that the Lord will give me a way out? Because with Jesus in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Amen. Let us bow our heads in silent prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, our faith is so little, our faith is so weak. Give us more of it. Make it stronger. Lord our God, our love for you and for fellow people is so weak and so static and so little. Father, give us more of it that we may love more and more and make it grow. God, our Heavenly Father, we haven't been steadfast enough in the different troubles that we face. Father, give us hope. Hope that sees beyond the challenges of our life, so that we may always be assured of your living presence in our lives. Help us through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.